God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace and peace be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O God, Judge Eternal, you love justice and hate oppression, and you call us to share your zeal for truth. Give us courage to take our stand with all victims of bloodshed and greed, and following your servants and prophets, to look to the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen. First reading this morning is from Jeremiah. Am I a God nearby, says the Lord, and not a God far off? Who can hide in secret places so that I cannot see them, says the Lord? Do I not fill heaven and earth, says the Lord? I have heard what the prophets have said, who prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. How long? Will the hearts of the prophets ever turn back? Those who prophesy lies and who prophesy the deceit of their own heart? They plan to make my people forget my name by their dreams that they call one another. Just as their ancestors forgot my name for Baal, let the prophet who has a dream tell the dream. But let the one who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, says the Lord? Is not my word like fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks a rock in pieces? Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 82 responsively. God stands to change the divine council assembled, giving judgment in the midst of the gods. Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and the needy.
Rescue the weak and the poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked.
They do not know, neither do they understand. They wander about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken.
Now I say to you, you are God.
Lest you shall die like mortals and fall like any prince. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. The second reading is from Hebrews. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as if they were on dry land. But when the Egyptians attempted to do so, they were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had received the spies in peace. And what more should I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, won strength out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, refusing to accept release in order to obtain a better resurrection. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were sawn in two. They were killed by the sword. They went about in skins and sheep and goats. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, persecuted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and in caves and in holes in the ground. Yet all these, though they were commended for their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better so that they would not, apart from us, be made perfect. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and the sin that clings so closely, and let us run with perseverance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the sake of the joy that was set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame. And it has taken his seat at the right hand of the throne of God. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, I came to bring life, bring fire to the earth, and how I wish it were already kindled. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what stress I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, 5 in one household will be divided, 3 against 2 and 2 against 3. They will be divided, father against son and son against father, mother against daughter and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law. He also said to the crowds, when you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say, it's going to rain. And so it happens. When you see the south wind blowing, you say, there will be scorching heat. And it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of the earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time? The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I have to confess that today's gospel lesson, beginning with, as it does, with Jesus saying, I came to bring fire on the earth and how I wish it were already kindled, is one I've struggled with from time to time. And perhaps had I been sitting up here with the kids, I might know a little bit more about it. I also have to admit that I've often set aside my struggles to understand the significance of what Jesus is saying. But it's amazing how being asked to preach on a Sunday, for which this is the gospel lesson, can be a significant motivation to spend more time with this passage than I ever have before. Perhaps now I understand Jesus' motivation for what he says about bringing fire to the earth, a fire which brings division, or at least some of that motivation. Division certainly did happen in the days after his death and resurrection, as the Jewish leaders, the priests, the scribes, the Pharisees, continued in their disbelief of his claims to be the Son of God. As a brief aside, I've often wondered what these religious leaders' true reaction was to the time that Peter and John, entering into the temple, came upon a man who'd been an invalid since birth, pleading for healing. And by invoking the name of Jesus Christ, indeed brought that healing to him. The religious leaders had thought that Jesus' death on the cross, with that, the threat to their religion and their nation, which they had perceived during Jesus' lifetime, was removed. But now his followers were doing the same things Jesus had done by invoking his name. It just wouldn't go away. The authorities' outward reaction was to take Peter and John into custody and to order them not to speak at all in the name of Jesus. But the disciples' response was to say that they could not keep from speaking about what they had seen and heard. At this point, the authorities' hands were tied. The healing had been seen by many, marveled at by many. But in spite of setbacks like this, the religious leaders, as well as many other Jews, were not able to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. They had their Torah, their laws, passed down and modified by the rabbis over the centuries. They could not accept the fact that God was doing something new, even though many of the prophets of old had described the times in which they were living, the events unfolding before them, before everyone. For me, knowing and believing the life, the claims of Jesus, there are times when I'm reading parts of the Old Testament, Isaiah, Psalms, one of the other Old Testament prophets, that I lose track of the fact that I'm reading words written long before Jesus walked on the earth. Instead, these seem to be descriptions of who he was, or what was written after the events described. A New Testament writing. They match so well with what the Gospels tell of Jesus. Yet the religious authorities could not understand or accept what was said. This was the first fire that was brought down to earth by Jesus' life. It resulted in division. Division in Jewish households. Families were divided, with some members believing, others not. Others faithful to the old way of belief. He was indeed who he claimed to be, the Son of God, and others certain that those with such a belief had turned from God, the God of their ancestors, the God of their nation. And this division may well have been exacerbated by the fact that those who accepted this Jesus as God included many Gentiles, people whom their rabbis had taught over many generations that the Jews were to have no contact with, heathen, infidels. Today, almost 2,000 years later, a comparable division still occurs, in some ways for different reasons, but not really that much different. Some of these reasons are ones that we as Lutherans should be able to understand. Many of them were the ones with which Luther was concerned 500 years ago. How to attain salvation. St. Paul tells us in his letter to the Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, not the result of works. It's a gift of God, so that no one may boast." Not the result of works. Our salvation does not depend on what we do, on our works, but on what Jesus did. And those who are not able to accept that Christ's death paid a full penalty for their sins suffer because of it. There are some, even in individual families today, who aren't able to accept that. Indeed, this has been the case in my family. I have had several relatives who've never understood the gospel of Jesus. Perhaps you've wondered, when thinking about a passage like this, why doesn't God lead all of his children more explicitly? Why did Jesus speak so often in parables or in other obscure ways? Why doesn't he lead us more clearly to what he wants us to do? Actually, he is quite clear and explicit, but it's a leading that won't be coming inside of each item, so we can be sure that we've done what we were assigned to do. But even with communication like that, we really couldn't be sure what we had done had been assigned to. We had done what had been assigned to us. We might pat ourselves on the back after we've checked off all our boxes for the day, but we very likely would soon realize that our judgment and God's as to our accomplishments might be very different. This was something that bothered Luther very much in his time. Had he done enough? And many find themselves wondering that same thing today. But while on earth, Jesus promised us that God will lead us, God, the Holy Spirit. In the extended description in his final discourse to his disciples, described in John's Gospel in the 14th chapter, Jesus tells them, "The Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I have said to you." But to really understand such teaching, such guidance, we must have a clear and close relationship with God the Spirit, indeed with all three persons of the Trinity. And as with all relationships, they can only become close if we spend time together. The Spirit's always there for us. Jesus promised that. It's our responsibility to take time there in study of Scripture. It seems that God made the decision at the time of creation that humans would always have free will to decide how to live our lives, to dedicate our lives either to Him or to some other god or gods, lowercase. This sort of dedication is very different than a checklist relationship with God. This free will business can really be quite frustrating. And I have to wonder if at times it's not equally frustrating to God as well. But it does accomplish what I believe the primary reason we were given free will is. If we serve God in ways that are beyond what He has told us to do, this service clearly shows us, shows Him our love for Him and for our neighbor. It honors God. It confirms that love. But if we're simply programmed to love God and act like that love, we're no better than automatons. Our love would be meaningless. So we must conclude that the fire which Jesus wished was already kindled is one which is beneficial to humankind. It separates, distinguishes those who truly love and trust God and those who are not that committed. It helps each of us to understand where we are on the spectrum of love for God, for Jesus, for the Holy Spirit. Guide us, Lord, to truly know You, to love and serve You ever more faithfully as we walk on this earth. Amen.